Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara Yugimel Beis, four lines from the bottom. The words of Taima are learning is once again sponsored the Ilui Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov and Shema Shulam Aliyah. Says the Gemara now. Taima da Amar Chulin Shoichelach. So now we're analyzing the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Ve'ilu Mutarin Chulin Shoichelach. If he's the lashon of Chulin Shoichelach, Chulin Shoichelach is just saying that Chulin, that which I eat of yours. So it's clearly telling you that my food should be like Chulin to you. Your food is going to be chulin to me, rather. So your food is going to be chulin to me, so that's very pashut, very, very obvious that that is not going to be a lashon of a neder. So the Gemara says, Taima demar chulin sho'echalach, l'chora, this is obvious, so therefore the Gemara is implying, ha'amar la'chulin sho'echalach, if a person says la'chulin, which is maybe implying not chulin, like lo chulin, that which I eat of yours, mashma lo l'chulin l'havi ela korban, it shouldn't be chulin, rather that implies maybe that it's a lashon that it's like, it's not chulin to you, and there, to me rather, and therefore that is going to be something which then is going to be telling us that that is usher. So that's what we're learning from the Mishnah, because obviously if a person just says l'chulin, that it should be like chulin to me, that would obvious, and the Mishnah doesn't even need to tell us that. So the Gemara points out, the mani masnisa, now who is that going to be? Ira Meir, if we say that it's Rashid Meir, we mentioned already on yesterday's daf, that really the source was a daf Aleph, but we mentioned yesterday again, halesei l'ramei mechlal lava t'shemehen, turning onto Yadal Amad Aleph now, that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of the concept that if you're implying from the negative, you should have a positive. So we're saying that this wouldn't be chal according to Rav Meir, because again, that if you say lo lechulin lave, that it shouldn't be like chulin, and then we imply, oh, that means it's going to be like a korban, that Rav Meir doesn't learn mechal lave t'shemehen by nedarim. So now you're going to tell me ve'el Rabbi Yehuda. You're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Meir. He does hold mechal lave t'shemehen with regards to nedarim, and therefore his neder is valid. So the Gemara says, ha'ine reisha though, on the previous Perek, the Mishnah already told us that lachulin, that which I eat of yours, is a valid letter according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what we learned, that that was Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so that is just repeating itself. So why would the Mishnah be repeating itself? So again, the point was, the Gemara was assuming that the first line is pashut. This is how the Ran explaining it. I'm going with the Ran now, that the first line of the lachulin is pashut. So it must be teaching another chiddush. The Gemara was assuming maybe it's teaching you that lachulin is the chiddush over here, that if you say lachulin, that's a valid neder. But the Gemara says that's shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and we already learned that also in the previous Mishnah in the last parak. So what's going on with regards to the Mishnah over here? What's the Mishnah coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, you're right. I did the ktani basar chazik, but the chavim lachik tani chalat. It's really just an introductory remark, but really it is pashut. Since we're going to be mentioning things that are not going to be chal, so therefore we best mentioning also this which is going not to be chal, and really there is no extra chiddush, meaning this does imply what we saw, we already learned b'shitas Rav Yehuda, but once it's going to be like by way of introduction to the other halachas of also other nedarim, which are not going to be chal. So now the Gemara presents another answer, Avina Amar Hachiktani. Now that this is what the Mishnah is teaching us, Ve'elu Mutarin Kechulin, and these are going to be permitted without a taras nedarim, as if you said like chulin, that which I eat of yours like chulin, meaning that's what the introduction is, that these halachas are going to be halachas where you don't need a taras nedarim, and that's why we mentioned the first case, kibasar chazir, kavadat chavim, those things are examples of things that you don't need a taras nedarim. Now the Gemara says v'ilo tanech chulin, but if the Mishnah doesn't mention us this case of like lechulin to teach you that it doesn't require a taras nedarim, then according to Ravina, I would have to say that hava amina ba'i she'ila. I would have had to argue that the person needs to do an annulment of his vow, because then I would have understood that it's not going to be permitted. Even though the Mishnah says, and these are going to be permitted, Tosas point out that you would have thought that this means on a level of Deoraisa. Derabanan, you would require Ataras Nadarim. So says the Gemara, is that really true though? Umi ikala sukel daitachi, can we really assume that this is what the Mishnah is saying? Hamegtani seifa, because the end of the Mishnah says, Haomer leishta reata laikim, if a man tells his wife, you're like my mother, poskala pesamakamacher, then we do require Ataras Nadarim, and we try to find him annulment for his neder. Michlal de resha lo bae shela, that a person doesn't need to annul the vow in the resha. That was pretty clear from the Mishnah itself. So that is not necessarily needed to teach me the case of lechulin to introduce that halacha that it doesn't require Ataras Nadarim, just like chulin doesn't require an Ataras Nadarim. I don't need to know that, because the Hemshech of the Mishnah tells me a case where I do require Ataras Nadarim, and it's very clear that only that case requires Ataras Nadarim, but the first case where the Mishnah doesn't mention any requirement for that, then obviously does not require Ataras Nadarim. So therefore, it says the Gemara, Ela Machvarta Chulin Memela Nasva. So therefore, we're saying that really the Mishnah is telling us the case of chulin was just mentioned in passing to introduce us to halachas of things which you do not require Ataras Nadarim for. Says the Gemara now, we said again in the Mishnah, someone who declares a neder in which you have atfasa is going to be aser. So now the Gemara is wondering, where do I know this? Minan imile. Where do I know that there's a source of hatfasa? So the Ran points out that l'chora, we're not asking for the concept of hatfasa working in general. The Ran points out that that's pashut because a hatfasa is not going to be worse than any neder. It's not going to be worse than any neder through a yad. Through a yad is just is something which is not even fully mentioning it, and yet that's chal on level d'oraisa. So then kol shekin, hatfasa associating it with something which is going to be associating it with something which is davar nadar is going to be pashut that it should be able to work. So rather the question according to the Ran is where do I know that only a davar nadar works by hatfasa? How do I know that only if it's something like a korban or something which a person can make usher to himself is going to be a valid lashon of a neder? But if a person uses hatfasa association with something which is inherently usher, from where do I know that that is not chal? According to the Ran, that is the whole question of the Gemara right now. So it says the Gemara Amar Kra. The pasuk says if a person is going to make a neder, lashem, ad shiyudah b'davar neder. So the lashon of yidor neder, which is a double lashon, is coming to exclude the case of davar hanadar, something which is generally, again, inherently aser. That is going to be the case of the Mishnah, meaning that the case of tfasa not working, but davar hanadar, that's what the Gemara was asking Menon Emile. So that's the pasuk in the Torah, and that's what it's teaching us over here. Again, the concept of a general tfasa working is clearly going to work on a level of daraisa, because its culture came from the level of a, from a yad. That's the Ran Taina. So the Gemara says, ihachi. But if that's the case, that from kiyod or neder, we learn that tfasa doesn't work, but davar aser, afilu b'dvar ha'aser nami, maybe you should assume that a dvar ha'aser also is effective. Why? Because daksiv le'eser iser, I'm not sure you're going on the fact that there's a riboy of ki yidor neder, but wait a second, says the Ran, is that we can maybe say, kol chad l'gufa yitzrich, that each one is, can be viewed independently. We have ish ki yidor neder, which is teaching us halacha of maybe just halacha generals of hatfasa, and then maybe the next lashon is going to be saying the repetitive lashon of isor isar is telling you that even a davar nador is going to be able to be done through hatfasa, and that's what we're teaching over here. That would imply that that also is going to be aser. So the Gemara says la eser isar mebayla lechedesan, no, because la eser isar, really, you're right that if we had a double lashon twice, maybe I would have learned that even a davar nador is available to be able to be dorish, that we could say that a davar nador is going to be valid through hatfasa. However, says the Gemara, that we need that drasha for ezer isar amar batorah, the drasha that we had before, that in the Braisa, how can that atfasa through a person saying that he's not going to eat meat or drink wine on the day of his father's yahrzeit? So that din is, I would have thought that the neder is not chal. As the Ran explains, shelo neser ela lo levado da'ino yom shemes ba'aviv chayal nidra, that I would have thought that for it's only for you. Maybe atfasa is something that generally everybody does. Everybody brings korbanos. So when you say this is like a korban to me, then it works for you because that is something which everybody does. But if you're just doing something which is totally kol kulo, individually halacha just for you, meaning that you're saying this should be like the day my father's yahrzeit, that's only for you. That's only for Reuven. So therefore, since it's only for him, that is not something which is called a hatfasa. So kamash malan, that is going to be a valid lashon of hatfasa, and that would work. And that's what we learned from le'eser isar. And therefore, we go back to saying that all we have left is the drasha of ishki yidor neder, which teaches us that we're going to be excluding the case of a davar hanador from being something which is going to work in a level of on a level of atfasa, because as the Ram points out, it doesn't make sense to assume that person says that this bread should be like chazer to me, that should be something which is working, because at the end of the day, the Torah tells you that chazer is aser, and you haven't done any. Again, we're trying to say that you're, by making a neder, you're trying to change the situation. You're something was X, and you're making it Y for you. You haven't changed anything. Chazer was inherently aser to you before, and it's inherently aser to you after. So it doesn't make sense that atfasa should tell us that would be something that would now aser your bread also. That's not the logic. So therefore, it's more mistaber to say that it's coming to exclude a davar another rather than to include it. That's the Ran's taina of what the riboy is doing. Fine. Now the Mishnah tells us that if you're going to be like my mother. So the Gemara says, we have a contradiction with the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Areat alai kebasar ima, you're like my mother's flesh, or kebasar achosi, like the flesh of my sister, ka'arla, like arla, or kalaya kerem, like kalaya kerem. These are all things which are asr behana. So the man was associating it with davar, that's asr, but things that are going to be inherently asr, lo amar klum. So it implies from the Braisa that you don't even need Ataras Nadarim. So you don't even need Ataras Nadarim. So the Mishnah says that you do need Ataras Nadarim when you say Arla Kala Ima. When you say Kebasar Ima and Kachosik Arla, all those examples, the Braisa says you don't need Ataras Nadarim. So which is it? Does one require Ataras Nadarim for this case or not? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. Abaye tells us, Lo Amar Klum Midaraisa. Really, we can answer this Dira. The Braisa means that he didn't say anything on a level of Daraisa. That's correct. However, Midarabanan, Sarach Sheila Midarabanan. A person is going to require to do a Taras Nadarim, to do an annulment, by a din of Darabanan, that you should not be Kalos Rosh with regards to Nadarim, and therefore, that is what the Braisa is teaching us. Also, there's no Stira between the two. Now the Gemara gives another answer. Rava says we can answer the Stira following. Rava Amar, Ham Tamadim Chachamim. That the Braisa is referring to Tamadim Chachamim, and that's why it says that you don't need to do Hataras Nadarim, because they're not afraid he's going to be lightheaded with it in the future, and he knows the halachas, as opposed to Am Haaretz. The Mishnah is telling us about an Am Haaretz, that an Am Haaretz is not going to be somebody who knows halachas, and he is going to be lightheaded in the future, and therefore we are afraid that he's going to come to make light of future Nadarim, which may actually be Chal, and that's what we require him to do a Taras Nadarim. So Rav is arguing on the whole understanding of the Braisa. According to Abaye, the Braisa is telling us you do require Taras Nadarim, whereas Rav is saying, no, the Braisa doesn't require Taras Nadarim at all. It's referring to a Talmud Chacham, and therefore there is no requirement for a Taras Nadarim. So they're fundamentally arguing on the din of the Braisa. So says the Gemara Vatanya, and Vatanya has a question over here. Hare Tanya. Usually Vatanya, like 90% of the time, is going to be more, maybe, I don't know the exact stats. Vatanya is most of the time a question. However, there are a few times, here's one of them, it comes up, oftentimes, not just a little bit, like, let's say 10%, whatever, that Vatanya is Hare Tanya, that it's a Raya. So here's a Raya, we're bringing a Raya for Rava, Hare Tanya, that we uphold, we have a Braisa, which is teaching us a Noder B'Torah, that someone who makes a Neder by the Torah, he says he's making a Neder by the Lashon of a Torah, by the Torah itself, lo amar klum. He hasn't said anything. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan told us b'tzarich sheila lechacham, that the person who's making the neder, he still requires a taras nedarim by din derabanan. Amar Rav Nachman, the Talmud Chacham eino tzarich sheila. But if a Talmud Chacham makes this exact same statement, he is not going to require and therefore we see that this is a raya for Rava, because a Talmud Chacham fundamentally is different than others. So that is the din that we're talking about over here, that when it comes to the din of the Mishnah, we're going to say that that's we're talking about someone who's an Am Haaretz, and therefore requires a Taras Nadarim, whereas the Talmud Chacham does not require a Taras Nadarim. That's how we're learning it over here. Some explain that there also is a difference between the wording of the neder and the ones that are valid, and therefore a person is going to make a mistake. And that's also part of the issue that we mentioned. Talmud Chacham is not going to make this mistake. So therefore, we're going to make this din on other people. But others explain that really it was only Ben Ish L'Ishto we made this, because we're going to come, he makes an nedarim a lot on his wife when Am Haaretz. So that's why we're Dafka Choshesh in the case of Ish L'Ishto, and that's what we meant by Am Haaretz as well. And that was we explained this in the introduction to how we explained the Mishnah on yesterday's Daf, and we had the Shita of the Rambam. Just to remind ourselves, the Shita of the Rambam was that the Mishnah is also, there's no concern for making a mistake. The Rabbanan made a requirement for Hataras Nadarim to, again, to deter people who are Amaratzim from making Nadarim for their wives, and therefore, lechora, it might be across the board. So that was the Shaila. That's the Shaila we had. The Rambam seemed to imply that it wasn't across the board. Other Rishonim said maybe it is with regards to Ish L'Ishto. That was the question in the Rishonim. How far do we take the Ish L'Ishto concept? Okay, that's what we saw. Now we're going back to, turning on to Yadal Adam Abayis, and really some of the Girsa of Gufa, but either Tanya, we're going back to what we just mentioned in the Braisa. The Braisa told us that if a person is Hanoder B'Torah, somebody makes a Neder by the Torah, he swears by a Torah scroll to do something or not to do it. So Lo Amar Klum, it's not going to be valid Neder. So this is a very big shaila in the Rishonim. What are we discussing over here? Almost all the Rishonim assume that we're talking about a shvua, because if we're talking about a neder, then lechora you can't be talking about a neder, because you're making hatfasa with the Torah that lechora that shouldn't be considered a neder at all, and therefore that should lechora not be discussion. However, the Ravid Shita, which maybe we'll mention right now, is that this whole subject, maybe we'll get to the end, I'll get into the Ravid if we have time, that the Ravid says that this is talking about Nadarim. So let's just go with the main Rishonim, and if I have time, when we finish this Hemshech and the Hemshech of the Gemara over here to the Mishnah, I can discuss the Shita of the Ravid. So we're going to go with the most Rishonim, that we're understanding we're talking about a Shvua. So then, if you make a Shvua by the Lashon HaTorah scroll, you haven't said anything. Again, because it's not valid, because you're swearing by the parchment of the Torah, and that's why it's not going to be chal. A shvua can be chal only if you say you swear, even not mentioning Hashem, or by mentioning Shem Hashem. So that would using or taking something which is kadosh, and if you say like the Beis Hamikdash, that when it comes to saying something like that, So that is not necessarily going to be a way of making a shvuah. That's what we're saying right now. So that's why if a person says by the if you're just saying it by the klaf of the Torah, then it would have kedusha. However, by the Torah, is not going to be effective. So that's more of a mashe kosuva. However, you say making a shvuah by what is written in the Torah, d'rav kamen, you know, in lashon of shvuah. Now that is going to be valid. Since again, Hashem's name is in the Torah, so that's what he meant. You're clearly swearing by Shem Hashem. Ba uve mashe kosuv ba. If you say ba mashe kosuv ba, that and what was written in it, also the Rambam, that's going to be a valid shvuah. So says the Gemara now. So katani b'mashe kosuv ba dvarav kayamin. The Braisa taught us that when it comes b'mashe kosuv ba, so then you're going to be valid what you say. So then, why would you have to tell me that that which is written and that by it and that which is written in it, it's obviously going to be good. Why would the fact that you say ba, that's not going to detract from your statement? So why is the Braisa tell us the third case? If I know case number two, why do I need case number three? That's the question of the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Amar of Nachman lo kasha. That's not a kasha because the case of the last case of the Braisa is talking about the machasa oraisa ara when the Torah is on the ground in front of you. So the Shita Mekubetz has already pointed out that we can't Sefer Torah on the floor. We know that that's not obvious. They're not bekavod. That's the whole minig to fast. The Magen Avraham quotes that's a later minig. It's not people think that's like a halacha and a gemara. It's actually not brought down, if to my knowledge, in the Rishonim even. The Magen Avraham brings it down that that's the din. That's what we do when Sefer Torah Chmona Letzlan falls on the ground. A person has to fast. And I don't even think the Magen Avraham brings in the whole 40 days. I don't know where that comes from, but that I believe we just one day. That's what usually it actually happened once in Tinek. That the guy who's and leaning Amincha dar dropped the Torah, and so everybody fasted one day. They did it one day. Everyone was at the minyan, fasted one day. Anyway. So it obviously doesn't mean literally in the ground. It just means that a person was not holding it. So ha, it was beneath him. He wasn't holding it. It could be on the table in front of him, but he wasn't holding it. Ha, whereas the middle case is referring to nakila bedi. We're actually physically holding it. That's the difference over here. So why is it different? So says the Gemara now. Machsa alara, if it's literally in front of you and you're not holding it. So then when you say b'mashe kosuv, maybe I would have thought that daita igvalei. I would have thought that his intent is on the parchment, and therefore the shua is going to be chal. Only if you say b'mashe kosuv is going to be referring to the actual Torah and the writing separately, then it's going to be good. Nakele biyades, but when you're holding it in your hand and you just say b'mashe kosuv, what about daita alaskar shuba, that it's going to be with the shemos of Hashem, by what's written in it, and therefore. Therefore, also it's going to be valid. So that's the difference between the two. That's the chiddush over here. So Gemara says, "Yibay seima the machzal ara," or you could give another answer. The price referring to a case where, again, you're holding the sefer Torah in front of you. It's not holding, rather, it's in front of you. So what's the chiddush? The alva gav the machzal ara, even though it's resting on the ground, kevan damar ba mashakasu, but you said what's written in it, mehani, it's going to be a valid shvua. Vizov in tzarech lezuktani, really, there is no chiddush. That the middle case says that that's what's written in it, and that's going to be clearly valid. And obviously, then by this ba of mashe kosuva is going to be valid. The braces just sometimes have that derech, zov in tzarech lezuktani, just l'rav chadimil, so they mention more than one case. So the Gemara gives another explanation. That the middle case is going to be, as lastly as refers to a case of the Nakala Biyadeh, where you're holding the Sefer Torah. So then the middle case is teaching and the person says, B'mashe Kasuba, he's referring to the Neshemos of Hashem in the Sefer Torah. And V'hakamashmala, what is that teaching us? Kevan to Nakilai, since the person is making the Shvua, is holding the Sefer Torah, Alpha Gav de Lomer, Ela Ba, he only says, Ba, Kemanda Amar, B'mashe Kasuba, Dami. It's like that in which we're in it, that's what you meant clearly. So this answer is telling us that, according to this explanation, when a person is making the shvuah while he's holding a sefer Torah, any mention of the Torah, even just lashon of ba, is going to be valid for the lashon of the shvuah. That's the chiddush of the last answer, and that would be enough. So, if in the middle case when you say ba mashe kosuva, it doesn't say. In that case, it doesn't necessarily mean where you're holding it. That was the difference over there, and that's going to be the din. Okay, so that's what we have, the different dinim over here. That's again, if the Sefer Torah is not in your hands, then we have ba Torah, or ba, that would not work. If you have ba of a mashe kosuv ba, that would definitely work. But mashe kosuv ba is going to be dependent on different answers. According to the first explanation, this would not work, because it meant what was written in the Torah, not necessarily the Lashon Shvuah. However, according to the second and third explanation, that would also work. If it's in your hands and you say batora or ba, according to the first explanation, it would not work. According to the third explanation, it would work. So that's enough nafkamina between the different explanations. If you say b'mashikasuba, then everybody agrees that that would be valid. Those are the three different explanations. Then the nafkamina is the practical applications of the three differences. We have a few extra minutes, so we'll mention the shita of the ravid. The ravid, everybody assumed that we're talking about a shvua. So that was because we can't be done with the nether, because the nether through atfasa with the Torah shouldn't be chal, just like chazar, something that's inherently not yours. So however, that is the Rav says, no, there is a difference over here. If you say like what was written in the Torah, so then a neder through atfasa is going to potentially work, because the Rav is saying that because when we're saying that the lashon of the neder, when you say that the first case when a person says the neder through the Torah, he's saying this should be like the Torah to me. So then obviously you haven't said anything because you're linking the item to the parchment of the Sefer Torah. However, in the next case when you say the person is making the neder through atfasa, through associating it with what's written in the Torah, that would be chal. This is because what did you mean? You meant the name of Hashem, and the name of Hashem, that's something which needs kavana. We know that yud kei vav kei, a sefer goes the mikvah before he writes the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem, the four-letter name of Hashem. You need kavana. For a person who has kavana when he writes Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's possible. So that's what we meant over here. We meant for the Shemos of Hashem, and the neder is going to be chal through atfasa because it is davar noder. And that was the shayla when you write Bava Masakosuba. That was the shayla. Maybe that's something which you're associating with actual the Shemos of Hashem or not. And that's what the handle. That was the shakla v'tar according to the Ravid of the Gemara. Very fascinating. He has a different sheet over here, but it does fit. You could fit that with the lashon of the Gemara. Okay, continues now the mission. The next mission is going to tell us different Nedarim, which we're going to compare to Shvuah. So now if a person says Konim Shani Yashin, if a person says Konim that my sleeping, or Shani Medaber, or Konim my speaking, or Shani Mahalech, or I'm walking, HaOmer Leishto, Konim Shani Meshameshach, he says I'm not going to have relations with you. HaReza Beloy Achadvaro, this is going to be the issue deraisa of violating your word if you don't keep it. The Gemara is going to ask why we don't say Aser like we do on the other Mishnayos. That's going to be a question. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Itman, we learn. Konem enai b'sheni ayom imeshan l'machar. So very interesting case over here. A person says, my eyes are going to be konem, meaning he's making a lashon of a neder to my sleep today, but only if I sleep tomorrow. So you have it tonight, it's taloi. So the person who's making a neder, it's asr to sleep on the day that you make the tonight, and it's going to be only effective though if he sleeps the next day. So l'chora, when is the neder, when is the tonight? So the person is allowed to sleep one of those days. You can't sleep at both. So if you sleep today, then you're not allowed to sleep tomorrow. But if you don't sleep tomorrow, then you'd be allowed to sleep tomorrow. So if a person taka sleeps today and then doesn't and then again sleeps tomorrow, so then lemafreya retroactively you're violating your neder. So this is the shayla over here. So what do you do? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that al yishan ayom, a person is not allowed to sleep today. Shema yishan lemachar, because maybe he's taka going to sleep tomorrow and then retroactively be violating his neder. So again, since really at this point today you're allowed to go to sleep. And then it just means that tomorrow you wouldn't be. We're afraid though that tomorrow you're not going to sleep, and that was your tonight. And then it's going to retroactively come out that you violated your neder. Rav Nachman Amar Yishan Hayom, but look, Hashem Yishan Machar. Rav Nachman says no, you don't have to go. Don't go to sleep today. Rather, go to sleep today, and then you'll avoid going to sleep tomorrow, and you'll be totally fine. Shalom Yisrael. So Zezek Gemara now Umoda Rav Yehuda Ba Omer Konem Einai Beshin LaMachar Yishan Hayom, that my eyes are going to be konem to me regarding my sleep tomorrow if I sleep today. So here the fundamental difference is, when was the tonight? So in this case, here the neder asks you from sleeping tomorrow, and it only takes, the neder is going to take effect if you sleep today. So the difference is the tonight now is the today. So it's not your neder. And therefore it's not retroactively dealing with your neder. You're saying today, if I don't sleep, then my neder tomorrow is going to be that I have to, if I do sleep rather today, it means I'm not going to sleep tomorrow. So that's only your tonight. So therefore everybody would agree that you would be allowed to sleep today, and then your neder kicks in tomorrow that you would not be allowed to sleep. Shishan ayom. So that is different than the previous one, turning on to the next up. But now kilo mizdar, because when do we have to be concerned that a person's not going to be careful? But tonight, only with regards to the tanai. In the case where the neder itself asked him from sleeping today if he sleeps tomorrow, and that would be triggered through the neder retroactively being effect, that's where we're going to be choshesh. However, in this case, what we just mentioned, the tanai is going to be today. So if you sleep today, that means that tomorrow your neder kicks in. We're not afraid that he's going to violate his neder in that case of al b'isura mizara, but regarding the iser, then he's going to be careful because we're not afraid he's going to violate it. When it came, because the person's neder is where he's going to be more choshesh for that. So when his neder is only going to kick in retroactively, we're going to think he's not on his mind, he's going to forget about sleeping, and he's going to go to sleep the next day. That's the issue. But if a person's tnai is today, that he says, if I sleep today, I'm not sleeping tomorrow, then my neder is tomorrow, then we are not afraid that he would, in fact, violate the neder, and then that would be okay. So the Gemara says, tnan, we learn in a Mishnah, konim shani yashin shani mahale shani medaber. So I'm going to speak and walk all that in the Mishnah. Hey chidami, what's the Mishnah referring to? Ile McDonough, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is teaching us that you're allowed to sleep in my walking, my speaking, shani yashin miyavin nidr, but that's not a valid neder, as we pointed out, the neder is on a cheftam. That's one of the classic nafkaminas, that a shvua is chal on something that's not tangible, like your sleep, your eating, things that you're not actually in front of you right now. However, nadarim are not going to be chal on something which is not tangible, which is something is lacking of actual substance. So therefore, it's not going to be chal. Sleeping is something that is going to be considered lacking. It's not tangible. So how can that possibly be chal? So rather, the Mishnah must be saying that a person is saying, my eyes are konim regarding sleep, and therefore the neder is going to be chal. So the Gemara says, now if the person didn't give a limit to how long his neder is going to be in effect, so then, do we actually leave him until he's actually going to violate the Isser Daraisa of falling asleep? Because at some point you have to fall asleep. A person makes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. We give him malchus right away, and he's allowed to sleep immediately because it's impossible for him to stay up 3 days straight. So, or with regards to a neder, also it's impossible to fill. That's not going to be binding. A neder is going to be similar to a shvua in this regard. However, a person who swears that something that's impossible is going to be a shvuat shav, and therefore going to be chayav malchus. One who makes a neder is not going to be chayav malchus because that type of iser is not chal for a neder, for whatever reason. That's what we're going to learn. But the Gemara says that that's not chal, and that's not going to be aser. So that would be only with regards to shvuat, and not with regards to a neder. So what do we see from over here? The Mishnah does not refer to a case where a person, his eyes are permanently going to be aser to with regards to sleeping. Ela da'amar, rather, we're talking about a case where a person says, my eyes are konim with regards to sleep tomorrow if I sleep today. So l'chor, the Mishnah is telling us that the person who's making the neder is going to be subject to this iser of lo yachal devaro if he does not sleep today, because it will trigger the neder with regards to he might not sleep tomorrow and violate that iser. Ha'amart kol b'isurim mizara, but you tell me that everything that is going to be with regards to the iser itself, a person is careful not to violate it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that l'chorah is going to be a problem with the Mishnah. Okay, we'll pick up with Elav Shita Damar and the continuation of the Kash Shemir Tzashem in tomorrow's daf.